This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We should be talking to Stephen Jones at about 12:30. We got a giveaway in this hour as well. And it's been a while since we've been able to throw out this segment, Dallas Cowboys thank you notes. And then Cowboys fans, I really do want to know, were you rooting for or against Dallas yesterday? And I ask that as somebody who all three of us in the room were born and raised in the Metroplex. And I know Mike's had a tough time with him as late, but at one point or another, we all loved the Cowboys. I still love the Cowboys. I know Corey does as well. And deep down, I still think Mike loves the Cowboys. But I'm not saying that as a radio person. I'm saying that as a fan who's like, better draft picks in every single round give you more capital and more opportunity to help turn your franchise. So I'm curious how, if there were any people who are like, I kind of wish they hadn't won. Because in the moment, I didn't feel that way at all. Like when Washington got the huge touchdown, I was upset. And then when they missed the extra point, I was like, holy crap, that's unbelievable. It was only after the fact that I'm like, oh man, I guess a loss probably would have been better. But watching the game, I was not rooting against them.
Did you look like you're hot on something there.
No. I was enjoying the craziness of it.
Yeah, so crazy.
So I was screaming on everything, like not in a positive or negative way. Like, for example, the Turpin touchdown. I'm like, oh my God.
Yep.
I can't believe this. And then
he was fast.
And then the McLaurin 86-yard touchdown that looked like it was going to tie the game. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this. I wasn't rooting against them. I wasn't rooting for them. I was enjoying, after 2 hours of like, why am I wasting my life?
Fair.
I thought, like, when I die and God says, here's what you did with your time, I was like, this 3 hours looks like he's going to say, you wasted 3 hours of your life right here watching this game. But the last 5 minutes did pay off, so maybe God's going to tell me that was a pretty good decision to stick with it.
I'm really curious how that breakdown goes. Yeah.
But I think it's best for the Cowboys to lose, but understandably so. I think it gets all confusing. I think Mick gets confused. At no point when I was on the Washington Nationals or New York Mets where we were losing for the benefit of the organization, we knew that the general manager,
yeah,
we knew that the manager had meetings away from the players. Whoever was playing on the field, we were going to play our best. The manager at the time, managing the game, was going to try his best with the assets that he could play in that game. And so it gets all confusing, I think, to people where it shouldn't be that confusing, but maybe it is. Is what's happening is the general manager, along with having meetings with the coaching staff,
they make those decisions for you.
Yeah, you're not, the players are playing their hardest. Tell Turpin that or whatever. Well, no, nobody in the history of sports has ever said go out there and lose.
Yeah.
Like that, first of all, you'd be the Black Sox. You'd get eliminated from the sport.
I don't know. I saw a whole documentary about the Cleveland. They were the Indians at the time, and the owner wanted the team to lose.
That was the movie Major League.
Yeah, it was a three-part documentary, I believe.
That was a one-part movie. And they, well, I guess they did come out with three parts.
I will say this.
Never mind.
I think tanking is very important for the New York Giants. I think tanking is very important for the Las Vegas Raiders. Why? Why is it different? They need a quarterback. The Cowboys aren't taking a quarterback. I don't care what Michael Irvin says. They're not taking, even if they ended up getting a pick where there was a quarterback there, the Cowboys are not taking a quarterback there. If you desperately need a quarterback, if you don't get Troy Aikman, it doesn't matter that you had Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin sure. and the offensive line. It doesn't matter. You would have still been pretty good, but you wouldn't have been the champion. And so when you are in a quarterback desperate situation, tanking becomes the most important thing to the season at this point. The Cowboys don't have to worry about that. So I can see on the other side, well, whether you have the fifth pick or the 10th pick, I can see that being okay because you're not taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
But I do understand when you get to the draft, you're going to be like, dude, if we were four spots higher right now,
exactly,
I think this would work out better for us. But in the moment right now, I wasn't for or against the Cowboys in that moment.
But from the 3-2-5, thank you for making it more reasonable to draft Ginty. Like, now it's a more reasonable place to pick him up.
That is true. If you want Ginty, that's a great win.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
If you want that specific player.
I had not considered it from that perspective. Interesting.
I will admit, like, when I sat down to watch the game, Adrian asked me, why are you watching the game today? And I said, because I have to talk about it at work this week. And she said, so what are we rooting for? And I said, probably draft pick here. So, like, that was my mentality through the game. And then at halftime, I was like, how is it 3-3? How have the Cowboys defense has completely turned around? What has happened? It didn't make any sense to me that they were able to stop this offense. However, everybody has been saying this morning is where I heard it all. And I think Bobby said it best. The Cliff Kingsbury offense is daylight savings time. Once it hits fall, it turns back.
Wow.
And that
is very clever.
Jerry Jones told us last Friday, we asked about the Kingsbury offense, and he kind of made this allusion to, look, if you played it once, you got it figured out. And I was like, hold on. Is he saying that it's an easy offense to figure out? They made it look like that. And I was very impressed with the defensive effort throughout that game. So throughout the game, Kevin, I started to get more and more like, hold on, what is happening here? And I was rooting for the moment. And then at the end of the game, I was like, no, what are we doing? We can't win the game. We can't win. We can still have competitive football and not necessarily win it. But then they ended up winning it because Washington could not win that game.
So in terms of some of the thank you notes to go along with that, I've said so multiple people have thrown Schoonmaker in there. And obviously Mickey mentioned Schoonmaker as well. I'm going to obviously throw out Josh Butler. Josh Butler broke up three passes. You heard Mickey kind of make reference to that stat. It is tied for the most by an undrafted Cowboys player since 1994. The last person to do it, Sterling Moore in 2013. Pretty sure he became fan phenom after that. But
no, that's Sterling Daniels.
Oh, okay. So
love you, Sterling.
But Josh Butler, man, he was one of those people along with Wanya, along with Turpin, they're Cooper Rush, that were like, they were gaming out there and playing above their. The reason why I pick out those particular people, I think Butler looked like he was playing above his head. Like he was playing better than at least I thought he was, which is very promising for hopefully the future.
Again, I have lots of questions about who the coaching staff is going to be. Like, if Mike Zimmer's going to be here longer than a year, then a lot of these things you're seeing on the defensive side are good. Broadus brings up a lot of times, is Mike McCarthy developing players for another coach? You know, and coaches don't seem to worry about that a lot. They're just like, I have to coach today. You know, I got to coach today. And that, if I ask my guys that, then I have to have that kind of mentality too. So it kind of feels that way, but the defense, as they've grown this season, and we expected, when we talked with Eric Kendricks in training camp, we were like, is it going to start out good, or do you think it's going to progress as the season goes along? And he was like, it's going to take time for everybody to learn what their job is. And then after the game, everybody's saying it's all about the system. We just had to learn that. That's what you hear the players saying after the game. I got to give Golston a thank you note.
Indeed.
Dude had an interception. He's a defensive lineman. He went and got an IV for dehydration and comes back in and gets an interception.
He also knocked down a third down pass that forced a punt.
I got to give him some credit. Thank you note to him for accomplishing that feat.
Yeah, Chauncey Golston is a good one. And this is one of the things, Mike, where I go back and forth about the merits of particularly modern NFL training camp. Because when we were out there, Chauncey Golston is one of the people that stood out to me, but I immediately added, I can't tell if it's because he's giving everything he's got in these drills, like one would hope, or if it's because, like, no, he's getting a little bit better. He's made an impact this season, but again, I go back to, had there not been injuries, would all of this been for naught? Would I have been like, oh, Chauncey Golston looks really good, and you're like, yeah, he looks really great standing on the sidelines. But he has gotten in, and he has made some impact plays. I'm not saying we fixed anything, but I thought he's had a couple of really nice plays these last few weeks.
I guess that's where you need to be at as a Cowboys fan. Pretty much. Is that you have to watch these games going, what do I like on this team for the future? And Golston, to me, is like, a rotational guy, right? Yes. That's what you're hoping for. He can just play in the league.
Yes, but not I think that's a win. But
yeah,
you're
for
right.
sure.
You're
like,
right.
I think you have to be careful because, you know, people will listen to us and not really hear us well.
That's true.
And say, oh, you think Golston's going to be DeMarcus Lawrence's replacement for the next 7 years? Like, no. I just think he can play in this league. He's showing an ability to be a rotational player in the NFL. And so I think that's what you have to look at on these kind of, hey, star up, star down things, and like, who are we giving thank you notes to? Is, hey, for example, and I'll just go into my barely watching college football this year. I want the running back from Kansas. I think if you're in
the third to fifth round,
Devin Neal, I'm like, that dude looks like, because he can catch, he looks like he has some speed. I'm not saying he's going to be Emmett Smith, but then when I watched yesterday, for me, that was the best game Rico Dowdle's had in his career.
It was.
I could see that.
And I
fumble notwithstanding.
But it doesn't mean he's good. Like, I still don't think he's a 5 to 8 carry a guy game. So I don't need him for the future at all. If I want to have him as my second or third string running back, fine. But even watching yesterday, if I wanted to give kind of like a thank you letter to Rico, I would still go, but I don't want him being my starting running back or even competing for the starting running back next offseason or next training camp.
I think that's fair.
Here's a note from Pro Football Focus, Kevin. Tyler Guyton, 0 pressures on 25 pass blocks. Awesome Richards, 0 on 14. TJ Bass, 0 on 38. Cooper Beebe, 0 on 38. Brock Hoffman, 0 on 38. Terrence Steele, 1. On 38. These are all pass block snaps. The one sack allowed was not credited to an offensive lineman.
And
like that was probably their best protection day we've seen.
And credit goes to, and this can be a complicated subject to dissect without upsetting people at times as well. Credit goes to the offensive line. I thought they played really, really well. Credit also goes to Cooper Rush for getting rid of the ball fast, fast, fast. Now, I know
decisions.
Yeah, and I know sometimes for that makes life more difficult for like CeeDee Lamb, and like he's having to work out there because Cooper Rush is like, I'm not going to risk that there's even going to be a pressure. I'm firing the ball out in 2.3 seconds or whatever the case was. So I give credit to all of those folks.
Yeah, I don't know how many sacks Washington had. Did you mention that?
I think he just said the one.
And one.
Dak's
taken 4 sacks in that game. I'm not saying Dak is worse than Cooper Rush, but you have to understand Dak will do things to cause you to be in more negative situations at times than Cooper Rush. Dak can create more plays than Cooper Rush and give you more positive plays than Cooper Rush can. But I love what you're talking about because, hey, we're not very good. The Cowboys are one of the 10 worst teams in the NFL.
Sure.
They have one of the 10 best wide receivers in the NFL. I'm just going to snap it and throw it to him and see what happens.
Yes.
Can Dak not think that simple?
I think the issue that he runs into is when you're a certain level of talent, I'm not saying you should do this, but when you're a certain level of talent, don't you think I'll get it done or I'll figure out a way to make this work, which was to Romo's detriment for several years, I thought. You've seen it with Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, pretty much anybody that's been a Green Bay Packers quarterback in the last 40 years. But like, you're so good that you're like, I'll figure out how it works. For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, jam-packed expressway. We will get to some of those high school playoff updates and shout-outs. We got Dallas Cowboys EVP Stephen Jones, plus a giveaway, plus Mike likes it, and maybe even some SMU. Woo! Next on The Fan.
Snap is back. Daniels is chased by Overshown. Throws the ball out. That's intercepted. That ball is picked off only his 4th of the year.
Chauncey Golston.
Golston,
that IV
back from the dead.
The IV must have done him wonders.
How about that?
How about that indeed? KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's talk a little high school football for people who want their playoff updates. Then we got Stephen Jones. We also have a giveaway at some point in this segment that is up to Corey's discretion and Mike likes it. So 877-881-1053 if you want to get any of your high school football shout-outs in. I'm going to go ahead and start with this. Cut number 14, because holy crap, does North Crowley like to beat down Odessa Permian.
Empty backfield here for Jimerson. Man in motion, it's Gibson. He'll pass it to him, has to reach up to go get that one. Now accelerates. First down. Pass midfield. Quentin Gibson. Q46. Touchdown, North Crowley.
Now, North Crowley defeated Odessa Permian.
They didn't have the mojo?
That's true. They did not. 72-14. That's the worst
loss. In a playoff game?
Yeah, in a playoff game. But get this.
Are you allowed to do that?
Well, yes.
Texas.
In this specific matchup, you are. That is now the new worst playoff defeat for Odessa Permian. Previously beating out last year when they also lost to North Crowley, but this time 63-10.
What happened to Permian?
Last year, they lost by 53. This year, they lost by 58. So, got a little bit worse. Now, from the 2-1-0. I had no idea. Couldn't have happened to a better team. Screw Permian and their mojo. I had no idea. People had fiery hot Odessa Permian opinions.
Next time we have a Permian person on, keep that drop around.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Next time we have a Permian person.
We have on Roy Williams.
I don't know. That's who I was thinking. That's absolutely who I was thinking. All right.
Boogie. Are we going to have the Boogie on?
Frisco Reedy.
Booby.
Booby. Booby Miles. Yeah,
yes. Booby. Frisco Reedy made one of the most remarkable comebacks you'll ever see in a playoff game. They were losing to Georgetown. I know, Mike, unfair because that's a college. I see where this is going.
Patrick Ewing.
Yes. And yes. Yes. I'm just going to leave it at that. They were losing 45-7 with 2 minutes and 9 seconds left in the first half. 45-7.
That's called a butt whooping right there.
It is.
Did they call it off and say, we'll just...
No running clock in the second half, which is probably good, because from there, Georgetown scored 0 points. Frisco Reedy scored 42 points over the next two quarters and change to win the game 49-45.
That is impressive.
42 man. Unanswered.
How much are you crying in the locker room as a 17 or 18-year-old senior that your life as a football player just ended and you were up at halftime
45-7.
I always want to hear a coach.
It was 45-7 with a couple minutes left in the second quarter. They scored a touchdown before the break.
I always want to hear a coach after a game like that go, that's exactly how we drew it up too. And be like, hold on, explain that. And they're like, look, we knew that if we gave them the confidence to go out and do this, that they wouldn't even think whenever we switched it up on. You know, like the game plan was always this. We knew that they would. I want to hear. Cause how do you explain that?
Yeah.
How do you explain that you all were doing something so poorly and in the middle of the game you turned it around?
That's a great question. I'll say the team that won and not the team that lost. I was covering a game at Texas Stadium, high school playoff game, because that's kind of, you know, where that's where Corey and I met each other, is like working at the newspaper. And Cedar Hill was losing 28-0 at halftime. I essentially just wrote my game story because I was like, this thing is over. Well, flash forward a couple hours and multiple overtimes, and Cedar Hill won the game. It was like, I don't know, 52-49. It was a ridiculous final score. And you just had to trash the entire, because all those four touchdowns in the first half, irrelevant now. Like, it just... Just like the Cowboys game yesterday. It almost felt like nothing in the first 55 minutes of that game mattered, and everything happened in the last five and change.
From the 817, Trinity will roll Allen on Friday night. From the 214, my nephew was a senior on that G-Town squad.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. That is terrible.
The 817, Permian Basin here. Don't insult my mojo.
Okay, that wasn't me. That was a fan text from the 214. Go Brock Eagles. Beat Benbrook. And from the 214, let's go Coppell Cowboys. I had one more thing I wanted to throw out there. If you like defense, Parish Episcopal, Prestonwood Christian Academy, that game was not for you this weekend, because in the regular season, Prestonwood beat Parish 52-49. This game, they're like, neat. I think we can do better. Parish Episcopal is going for their sixth straight TAPS Division I state championship.
Their quarterback, I don't know if he played or not. He's committed to Purdue. I think he got hurt.
Oh, in the game?
No. He's been hurt.
Before that. Yeah. So. They won 61-55, and the game featured a combined 1,312 yards of offense.
Really?
Yes.
Dude, that's Julius awesome. Randle, huh?
No, Julius Randle, first of all, played basketball, and he hasn't been out of that school in, 10 years or something?
Cameron Rupp, am I right?
No, again, that is a baseball player who, I guess you've got a good point, he did play football. But again, it's been, 12 years since he was there?
Jordan Swaggerty.
Parish Episcopal.
Oh, the Chief's happy.
They're what?
Robert Parish.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie, Mike. I think it was Lance Parrish.
Oh, and we had Larry Parrish.
Larry Parrish,
yeah,
that's right.
Lance is a Detroit Tiger.
It's only Monday, Kevin. We got Peace-a-thon coming up on Wednesday, and tomorrow we're at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Let me tell you something.
In Addison.
When we got back home at about 5:15 in the morning, and I laid down, I thought, how in the world is it still Sunday? But even by that point, it was technically Monday because multiple people had told us good morning already that day because they were starting their day. And that was the one.
It wasn't Sunday.
I know, but that might have been the only. Well, it had been Sunday night, and I still hadn't really gone to sleep. But that might have been the only time ever I wished I was on the morning show. I thought
about your body could just carry through.
I thought about texting Bobby, RJ, or Sean and be like, hey,
can I just do y'all's
show? How the bosses would feel about this. Could we swap shows today? Because I really want to get this over with.
Me and Mike would have had to get up early? Is that what you're trying to do?
No. I think just I would have subbed in on their show and then they would have sent somebody over to our
show. Sean would have yelled at us all day.
Actually, he probably would have. Let's go ahead and fire off one more cut because we have one more football thing that's not pro and it's not high school. You can probably figure out in the in-between. Cut number 20. It is the golden era once again for the SMU Mustangs.
And it is a quarterback draw and Jennings towards the goal line in for the touchdown. And SMU seizing control on the road.
Think about the world we live in. Alabama, not in the top 10. SMU, yes, in the top 10. SMU has moved into the AP top 10 for the first time since 1985. And they're this high, this late in the season, for the first time since 1984. Which makes sense because obviously now you're talking about the golden era of SMU football.
When they were paying players.
Yeah,
and now that you can pay players again, SMU's back.
They got a lot of money.
They did it. Death penalty that.
I mean, that's a good point. I guess they won't get death penaltied again. Some of the credit goes.
They proved when everybody in the Southwest Conference was cheating and paying players, and I'm sure other conferences were, they were beating UT and A&M and paying players.
Yes.
And now they don't compete against UT and A&M in their conference. But they're probably winning in the ACC and paying the most.
They are the first team in the history of the ACC after the first year that a team made the conference championship in its first year in the conference.
Who are they going to play in that?
It's either going to be Miami or Clemson. That is still to be determined as of this weekend. I mean, probably Miami, but who the hell knows?
Dude, wasn't Troy Aikman on the sideline for this SMU game?
I did not see him.
Maybe it's a TCU game that I saw, but I was
like, love me some TCU.
What if Troy Aikman's on the sideline randomly for SMU and then Michael Irvin's on the other sideline for Miami?
Now,
I have no clue what Troy Aikman's connection with SMU is.
Yeah.
But.
Well. We got Mike Likes It coming up in, I feel like, just a second. Oh. But before we get to any of that,
let's give something away!
877-881-1053, caller number 10.
Yeah.
We'll win a pair of tickets to go see Miranda Lambert on December 28th at Windstar World Casino and Resort. Mama, your heart ain't broken if you're caller number 10, 877-881-1053. And now, well, Mike, I'm going to leave it up to you, actually.
I'm confused here.
Would you like to do Mike Likes It, or would you like me to do Wanker of the Weekend? Because we're supposed to have Stephen Jones calling in. He's not here.
I don't want to start a conversation likely is going to get interrupted.
Okay, I will go with Wanker of the Weekend, and we'll move Mike Likes It then, because I have no problem interrupting Wanker of the Weekend whatsoever. All right. Who was the best at being the worst this weekend?
That football game yesterday, the Cowboys and Washington.
Yeah.
That was a great, horrible game.
Do you?
Or something. A horribly great game?
No, it was not a great game.
It was a great ending to a bad, horrible game.
Yes, that is a very fair way to put it. Now, I'm going to throw out for consideration Manchester City. They got thumped by Tottenham. Now, this is important because Manchester City is always super duper good. Now, they've lost five straight across all of their competitions, which is the most in Pep's career, which was only surpassed by four before the last one. And now they have lost three straight EPL games for the first time in Pep's 8+ seasons with Manchester City.
Mm.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Now, I guess afternoon, my bad. I apologize for that. What was that the crazy?
Either one.
Yeah, either one. Was that the craziest special teams game you've ever seen? Missed field goal, block punt, missed extra point, multiple kickoff returns. Like, I can't imagine anything else happening from a special teams point of view.
Well, it just shows you what a big role it can play. And, of course, it was, I think, up and down on both sides. I mean, got to give them credit for the blocks and, you know, for the blocked field goal. And, you know, certainly they made some plays. And then, of course, hats off to Turpin and what he did. And then, of course, I'm sure they had their lamenting a few missed field goals and a couple of extra points. And I'm sure that was difficult, too. But it was crazy what a big role special teams play.
What do you think, Stephen, was the difference? What do you think that the guys did differently than they have the last couple of weeks offensively that got that kind of result this week?
I think the big thing was just execution and, you know, the running the football and, you know, with the defense playing well and us getting more and more confidence as an overall team that our defense is, you know, going to get stops, then you're able to be more conservative on the offensive side of the ball and run the ball and do the things, you know, that it takes to have a successful running game, which in turn, you know, I think, you know, we were able to win the turnover battle, which we haven't all year. And, you know, that's always a big indicator of who's going to win the game. So I think, you know, just that execution and not getting behind and being in the game the whole way and giving yourself a chance to win it. And then, of course, ultimately winning the turnover battle was a big deal.
Yes, absolutely it was. The offensive line, were you a little concerned going in without Tyler and Zach? But then the result actually turned out to be pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously our two most consistent, best, you know, better offensive linemen, period, in terms of not only experience, but just in terms of skins on the wall, you got to be somewhat concerned. But, you know, a little bit, that's been, you know, a little bit about what our season's been about is having these challenges. And I thought yesterday we met them, and we're still not totally healthy yet, but we're getting there. You know, we're certainly getting there. And it's showing up on the defensive side of the ball. And you know, we'll get should get Tyler back for this week. I thought Schoonmaker showed up in a big way for Ferguson, and as did Brevin Ford. So, you know, just I think a good performance and something that we can build on. And know we're, you know, just want to go to work and focus on beating the Giants and win the next football game.
Are y'all to the point offensive line-wise that Awesome Richards and Tyler Guyton are just kind of sharing the position for non-injury reasons? Because Awesome Richards has continued to do a solid job out there.
Well, a lot of it has been for injury because, you know, Tyler's been in and out with that shoulder and hadn't been able to totally get through games. But Awesome's doing a great job, too, as you said. Now, you know, he's battling a high ankle now, and we'll see kind of how that turns out. But, you know, the great news is we're getting a lot of offensive linemen, you know, a lot of good repetitions and good opportunities. And, you know, it's something that, you know, will pay dividends as we move forward, I think.
And that was Awesome Richards that you were saying has a high ankle issue right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Stephen, a lot of our fan text and calls this morning have had kind of been mixed emotions. Do you have any mixed emotions after winning a game like that against Washington?
Absolutely not. I mean, we've been very upfront that we're, you know, we're wanting to win football games right now. And certainly, you know, understand what our record is. Through a tough stretch in our schedule there where we were playing you know, division leading football teams and, you know, the tougher part of our schedule. And, you know, we just want to go out there and win football games. And that's the most important thing right now is play the people who give us the best chance to win the game.
Now, you'd mentioned some of the people that have stepped up defensively. There is a variety of players to choose from. I wanted to actually start with Chauncey Golston, who intercepted the first pass off of that deflection, but his first interception, but also knocked down a pass on third down to force a punt, not just yesterday, but what have you thought about the last couple of weeks of Chauncey Golston?
I mean, there's another, another player who's gotten a great opportunity. There we had our top four defensive ends out for a big chunk of the season in there. He certainly got his opportunity along with Lawson, along with a week. But Chauncey in particular has made the most out of it. And, you know, a player that's really stepped up and, has developed into an even better football player with the opportunity to get those reps, which he certainly wouldn't have had it not been for the injuries that we've had at that defensive end position.
Yeah, did y'all say, hey, Wanye, next time maybe lay down on the ground? Or are you like, no, just score touchdowns?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, there's no question that made it, especially the way that game was going at the end of the game. You didn't want to leave anyone with any time, with what how quick the game was changing and evolving as that game wound down. But certainly Wanye made a great play, and I agree with you. It probably would have been a little better had he sat down, but happy for him that he got his first NFL touchdown and made it even nicer in the fact that we ended up winning the game.
And it can be tough with the situational awareness. I know that's one of the things the players get paid for. When you were watching the game, were you watching him run it back and be like, go, baby, go? Or were you like, no, slide at the three. Like, that's what we need to do.
We're up there in the box where we don't have that kind of pressure. So we were a little aware of the fact that, hey, it might be nice to slide. And as you said, some of these guys have been in those situations. I saw Turpin putting his hands on his helmet as he was running for the end zone. And I think he was aware that it might would have been better to slide down. But the great thing is it worked out and Wanye got a touchdown.
You mentioned Tyler Smith and the optimism about him being back for the Giants game. Obviously, injuries have been tough all year. I was curious. I know it's only Monday, but quick turnaround. Jake Ferguson, Zach Martin, Trayvon Diggs, Brandon Cooks. Can you give us anything on any of those four players about how they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, we're optimistic as we move forward that we'll continue to get guys back. I think Cooks will be a player for us. Certainly think Tyler Smith's going to be a player for us. Think Diggs has a chance to be a player for us. And I don't know who else you mentioned there. But
Ferguson.
It was the other one.
Ferguson and Zach
Ferguson
Martin.
Probably not. Ferguson and Zach Martin both we'll just have to see. A little more of a long shot for them to play.
And then before we let you go, Stephen, was it that much sweeter to beat Dan Quinn, or is it just any time you get a chance to beat Washington, it makes it sweet?
Anytime you go on the road against a division opponent, actually, you beat a division opponent anywhere, it's super sweet. And, like I said, we got nothing but the utmost respect for Dan Quinn and what he stands for and what he's all about. So, that's what you get. I'm sure he was wanting us in the worst way, too, in terms of getting a big divisional win. But it was great to get a big divisional win there on the road. And, you know, we've got good football players on this team. We've had some challenges this year, but, obviously you look at a game like that with a team that's, one of the better teams in the NFC. Certainly, I think if the playoffs were today, they'd be in them. And, a big win for us. And like I said, we're going to continue to our goal is to win football games. And it starts Thursday against the Giants at home against Thanksgiving. We've had a tough road here at home and hadn't really, which has been atypical for us, but we love to go out there and get a big win on Thanksgiving for our fans.
And because y'all are still looking at the numbers, right, and thinking, hey, if we keep winning, we still have a shot at the playoffs, correct?
Yeah. Well, that's one game at a time, as you said, but yes. I mean, mathematically, you look at the numbers and, we've just got to continue to get better, and we're getting healthier, and so we should get better, and got to go up there and execute and do the things that we need to do to win football games.
Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again next Monday.
Sounds great, guys. Have a good weekend, and hope you have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, sir. Same to you. There you go, Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Kevin, this is a Mavericks note.
Okay, great.
Klay Thompson listed as questionable with a left foot plantar fascia at the moment. So,
ooh, that's one of those annoying things that you feel like doesn't necessarily
stays around for a while.
Disappear.
Good talk with Stephen there.
Okay, so I just wanted to go back through real quick on the five people that like I immediately thought of that are out. I know
there's a litany of injuries,
and that's that's a bad sign when he was like, "Who else did you mention?" Because we've got a lot. So. Jake Ferguson, Zach Martin, Tyler Smith, Trayvon Diggs, Brandon Cooks. The way he laid it out for us was, and I know it kind of altered to day by day for Ferguson and Martin, but man, it really sounded like he said that's going to be tough.
Yes.
So I would go ahead and Jake Ferguson, Zach Martin, it looks like probably a no-go on them.
It felt like he wanted to go, sorry, they're not playing.
Yeah.
But then he was like, well, let's just wait and see.
And then on the flip side, he sounded exceedingly confident about Tyler Smith and Brandon Cooks being out there Thursday against the Giants, with the one maybe being Diggs. So Stephen Jones laid it out for us. Probably Tyler Smith back, probably Brandon Cooks back, probably not Jake Ferguson, probably not Zach Martin, and 50-50 on Trayvon Diggs. Now, can we pivot back, if you don't mind, to some wanker of the weekend?
Absolutely.
All right.
Let's get this wanker on.
Huh. I don't.
Of the weekend. Wanker of the weekend.
I love the way you said that. I want to know if you think this is too much of an escalation.
All right.
So Danny Cannell was talking some crap about Florida football, and he tweeted.
He's a Florida State guy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He tweeted out, congrats, Florida. You're the Kansas Jayhawks of the SEC. All right. Then Chipper Jones swoops in. And, man, he went after it pretty hard. And he said, hey, Danny, I say this with all due respect for your mediocre career and even less mediocre career after throwing senseless picks at FSU. Shut the F up.
Whoa.
We know you hate the SEC. We get it. No need to pee in our cornflakes because you're on your, well, they said maybe he had some female problems and then said, congrats on Charleston Southern. That felt like quite an escalation.
I didn't know Chipper felt this way about college football or SEC or Florida or Danny Cannell. Like
I had no idea.
I've never heard Chipper be like this.
I had no idea, but man.
Wow.
He came out hard against that. Congrats, Florida. You're the Kansas Jayhawks of the SEC.
And then Kansas got a good win.
Yeah, they're like, hey, we can be all ranked right, teams up, when you don't expect it.
Yeah.
All right.
Hold on. What was the ranked team they beat again, though? Colorado?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And cut. Deion Sanders had plenty of stuff. We'll dive into that more tomorrow. But yes. All right. Go ahead and give me cut number 21 because I will once again always nominate the Tampa Bay Lightning for being the wanker of the weekend.
Labushkin fadeaway one-timer score. It deflected in at the side of the net. Evgeny Dodonov was there.
Haskinen put another one in. Hintz put another one in. How dare the Tampa Bay Lightning think they could possibly compete with the mighty Dallas Stars? And yes, I am still salty about the 2020 Stanley Cup Final. Then again, I'm still salty about the 2000 Stanley Cup Final. So Tampa Bay Lightning, they're on the list. They're going to be on that list for a long time.
You have a list too, huh?
That's right. Chris Jericho taught me well for that. And then I wanted to throw out Jake Oettinger. He stopped 27 shots in the win this weekend. He's 11-3 this season. So I know the Stars get back after it tonight, and we'll talk more about, obviously, that tomorrow, their game against Carolina, because Carolina is a very good team as well. But Tampa Bay Lightning, wanker of the weekend for trying to challenge the mighty Dallas Stars.
Thanks a lot, Tampa.
Now, this one I'm not sure about because we've already gotten some conflicting opinions about how real this is. So,
Taco
Puka Nacua said, if I'm being honest with you guys, somebody told me we're in the NFC West. So that's good to know, I guess. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, he said, that's good to know, I guess. thus insinuating that he did not know that they were in the NFC West. However, Sean McVay fired back and he goes, no, he didn't say that. And he goes, he's just messing with you guys. Give me the context. And then he switched it up and said, but if so, that's beautiful. See, like, be like Puka. Just focus on what you can control. And hey, if that's the case, I love him unconditionally. What a whirlwind of emotions from Sean McVay, who said, that didn't happen. He's probably kidding. Give me the context. And like,
I'm okay with it.
He went through all of those stages of grief so quickly.
Okay. It is a lot of times when we ask Mike, hey, Mike, is this real? Mike is a sports fan. So Mike, while he was playing baseball, he knew all the conferences and divisions of every other sport because he's a sports fan. Did you have teammates that had no clue what division or anything they were in when you were playing?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so really? I believe it. So I believe it. That I think there are other people out there that are like, I show up to hit the ball today.
I would say that everybody knew if they were in the American League or National League because of the DH.
Yeah.
So you would know that. But if I were to ask everybody on the team privately, all right, we're Washington Nationals. Who are we competing with to win this division? I would say 1 in 4 or 1 in 3 guys would have no clue who we are competing against. They'd be like, well, here's what they would probably do. Well, the Braves are the best, so we're competing against them, right? And then I'd be like, well, who else? And they'd be like, well, they'd try to think. I'd try to give them hints. I'd be like, who do we seem to play more than other teams? And then they'd be like, oh, okay, so we play the Mets more. We seem to go to Florida. We seem to go to Miami quite a bit. Are they in our division?
Mike, with that in mind, do you think regular people would be shocked to know all of the things professional athletes don't know about their sports or rivalries?
Yeah. Not all. I think it's a minority. I would say it's like 20 to 35% of athletes that are professional don't know some basic things about how the playoffs work. Even at one point when I was working at the Ticket, we interviewed Jason Witten. He didn't know they were officially eliminated from the playoffs.
Oh, no. Well, and remember Bannister didn't. Like, you know, you Bannister told Dawson that he didn't know what the standings were. I remember that.
I think Banny was on one that day. But
it can happen.
But yeah, like even Jason Witten, who he probably knew who the divisions were and all these things, he was like, "Wait, so we have a game left? We can still make it." It's like, you can't.
Oh man,
man, that must have been a downer. The rest, of the interview.
You could tell he was like confused. He's like, "Wait, you know, like." And I think there was like a 1% chance, and we gave him the 1%, and it started getting confusing to him, and he's like, "Oh, we're out."
Huh? I just love that Mike's going, "Hey, Alan, let me give you a hint here. Who do you think we play a lot?"
That is a genius point, and I just want to continue to shout out and shill for Peace-a-thon. We have a full size Jason Witten autograph helmet available as part of Peace-a-thon. I think it's a beaut, too. It really is
beautiful.
It really, really is. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Hey, let's get into the hits and misses from this weekend next on The Fan.